Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to the Internet Business Blueprint Podcast. This is James Holmes, your host, and this is the show, first show of 2015. In fact, it's episode number 191 for our series, and I'm glad you could join us today. The title of today's podcast is How to Make 2015 the Best Year of Your Life, and that is a very lofty offer in terms of the best year of your life, because depending upon how long you've been on this earth, you may have had some incredible years in your life. And I'm always one that believes that you can take the best of what you've had in your life so far, use it to inform your future, and purposely create the outcomes you want to see in the new year. Now, of course, a lot of people approach the new year differently. I've talked to some friends over the last couple of weeks that have very different approaches to how they take on the new year, or whether or not the new year actually has any significance to them or not. And we all kind of deal with a set of common elements. We all have challenges. We all have changes that are going on, some outside of our control, and some that are not directly tied to us but yet impact us. And, of course, we all have commitments, so changes, challenges, and commitments. And I note that in talking to some friends and getting a feel for how people are approaching the new year, that some people actually don't plan. In other words, there's nothing really different they do, you know, January 1st than they did August the 1st. You know, it's just kind of another month, and although it may be the start of the new year, and it may be somewhat of a holiday, they really don't see the new year as being anything significant. And I find that the people that are in that position that aren't actually doing anything consciously around planning for the new year, kind of look at it one of two ways. One would be that they're happy with the way things are going. You know, their life is going good. They feel like they're in flow, and they just want more of the same, you know, and so there's really no need to sit down and really map out a plan. And then at least that's their perspective. That's what they're telling me from asking, well, why don't you plan? And that's kind of the sense I get. So that's one group of people. There's another group of people that kind of just takes life as it comes, you know. So the reason that they don't set aside plans in the new year is because that's just not their style. So whether or not they're happy with the way things are going, if things are going good, going bad, whatever the situation is, they're just not, you know, inclined to do any kind of planning. And so the marking of the new year really has no significance to them either. Then there's the group of people that actually do plan, and I fall into that category, and I have, as long, far back as I can remember, I've always made what are commonly known as New Year's resolutions, or set new goals, is the way that I like to look at it, and new action plans, you know, for the new year. And people that do that, like myself and others that, you know, that do this same practice of kind of looking at a new year with a fresh set of eyes and setting up new goals, there's really kind of six things that you look at when you're planning a new year. The first step is you're evaluating your present state. You're evaluating where you are today. Number two, you determine what's working. So number one, you know, evaluating your current state. Number two, you know, determining what's actually working in your life. So what are the relationships that are working? What's the, maybe it's the job or a career or a business that's working. It might be a fitness or a wellness regime you're undertaking that's working. And what are the things that are going right? And actually documenting those things, putting them down on paper. The third step in the process is determining what needs to change, because there's no doubt, no matter how many things are working in any one person's life, there's definitely going to be one or two or more things that aren't working. It's just kind of a, you know, natural, you know, turn of events. So actually documenting what is not working. Number four is setting really measurable and actionable goals. You know, goals that you can actually sit down, document on paper, and then be able to determine what creates success around that goal, what defines success, and how is it going to be measured. The fifth step is developing an action plan. So once you've developed these measurable goals, how is it you intend to get to your destination? You know, what is the plan? And the plan is going to include the people, the resources, the timing of opportunity, the opportunities themselves. What's it going to take in order to put your measurable set of goals into action and actually have the outcomes you're seeking you know, in this new year. And then the final thing that people that plan do is they commit to a process. So once you determine what it's going to take, what's going to naturally flow from that is going to be a set of steps or contacts or actions that you're going to need to take or undertake in order to make the goal a reality. And so people that plan, that's what we're doing. It's all six of those things. So it's evaluating your present state, determining what's working, determining what's not working, setting measurable goals, developing an action plan, and then committing to the process of bringing those goals about. Now, in my own case, and in the case of most other people that I know that do this type of planning, we typically are doing it in four key areas of our lives. And these aren't in any particular order, other than the way I've written them down on my sheet of paper. The first one is health. And so, you know, health is so vital to everything else in life. You know, whether you've been blessed to have great health in during your lifetime or you've had long-term issues with health, everyone understands what it feels like not to feel well. I mean, even the most healthy person I know has a day or two every year where they just don't feel good, you know, whether it's a cold or flu or headache or, you know, maybe it's a physical injury, whatever it is, everyone knows what it's like not to feel good. And when you don't feel good, it's more challenging to carry out the activities that you want to carry out in a given day. And so to the best of your ability, because there are things that, you know, that limit one individual's opportunities from another, whatever your ability is to be at optimum health for you, it's really important to set goals around that and be very proactive about it. If you have generally good health, it's important to preserve that health. So, you know, someone might be saying, hey, I'm in great shape. I really don't really have any issues around, you know, health. That's great. And the key is your goal is to maintain that. And so there's always an opportunity to focus on health and to set goals around your health. The second category is money and wealth. And these things I have listed really separately because they're two separate things. Money goals relate to really right now. You know, what is it that I need to do in this very moment to take care of the obligations I have, to take care of the goals I have set for myself, the aspirational things I want to accomplish? You know, what's it going to take for me to be able to make those things happen? That's the money part of it. The wealth part is more long-term. So, you know, what is it you might be doing in this moment to set yourself up long-term for the future? And really, wealth creation is around building assets, and it's about preserving, you know, some portion of your money now to be able to benefit from that into the future. And setting some goals up around that is really important. Now, the goals are going to be very different for every individual person, because someone who's 30 or 35 or 40 years old is going to have a much different wealth goal than someone that's maybe 50, 55, or 60 years old, because someone that's 55, 60 years old is closer to needing to draw upon that wealth, and so their focus in terms of their goal setting is going to be much more laser-focused on that. If someone's in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, it's far enough away as an immediate need that it's probably just not naturally going to take as much priority, but it would be a really wise thing to do to set some goals around that anyway, because, you know, with regards to money and creating wealth, time is your friend. You know, the time value of money and leveraging interest and so forth, a whole other discussion, but it's something that you want to be mindful of. So setting money and health, money and wealth related goals, that's also important. The third category is relationships. And I'm not just talking about, you know, interpersonal relationships with a spouse or a significant other. I'm talking about all your relationships in your life that range from the barista you see regularly at the coffee shop to the person that delivers your mail to your siblings, parents, if you're fortunate enough to have your parents still, to the meaningful people living your lives, your children, grandchildren if you have them. You know, every relationship you have that has consistency in terms of showing up in your life, it's great to set goals around that. And, you know, you certainly can't control everything that happens in the dynamics of relationships. And that's why I said at the very beginning that we also kind of deal with those three C's, challenges, changes, and commitments. Well, sometimes there's changes that go on that really aren't created by you, but you're impacted by them. And sometimes those affect your relationships. So again, it's taking what you have available to you, figuring out what's working, determining what needs to be changed, and making changes in that area as well. So that's the relationship side of it. And then finally, spirituality. And regardless of what your belief system is, I find the people that I know that are happiest have some form of spirituality in their lives. So whether it's a belief on a Christian basis, an Islamic basis, a Jewish basis, whatever it is that they believe in, metaphysical beliefs, whatever it is that you believe in, I find the people that are the happiest have some form of a core belief system that feeds them spiritually. And so I feel that's an important area to look at in terms of your goal setting and goal planning. Now, am I suggesting that to make 2015 the best year of your life, that you have to look at structuring your life like a business or something, you know, write a life business plan? I'm not saying that at all. But what I do think is important to make 2015 the best year of your life is to take these four key areas of your life and sit down and go through that six-step process that I referred to, you know, evaluating your present state, determining what's working, determining what needs to change, setting measurable goals, developing an action plan, and committing to a process. And if you do that in those four areas and you're committed to it over the next 12 months, if you and I got back together on the same date, January 5th of 2016, a year from now, I think that you will find that your results and your level of happiness will have grown as a result of going through a process like this. And so I would encourage you to do it. Now, a couple things that are really important that you want to be thinking about is, while you're in the process, every day is not going to be great. And when I say committing to a process, I don't mean that because you've decided you're going to achieve something that you're going to have clear sailing all the way and there will be no challenges that come before you, because that's really not the case. So let me give you 10 crystal clear steps that relate to action planning that will make this whole process actually work for you. So step number one is to decide what you want to achieve. So in each of those four areas, and if you feel like that's overwhelming, pick one. Because one area of significant improvement in your life impacts all the other areas in your life anyway, and it'll still have you achieving far beyond what you might have thought possible, assuming you don't already go through a process like this. So step number one is deciding what you want to achieve. And being really clear about it, and remembering what I said earlier, is that those decisions have to be measurable. So let's talk about money, for instance, because money is an easy thing to kind of talk about and illustrate with examples. If I were to say to you that I want to make a lot of money in 2015, that's fine. That's a great goal, to make a lot of money, quote unquote, in 2015. But what does it really mean? It's kind of an ambiguous statement that really has nothing measurable around it. Because with a lot of money to me, not be a lot of money to you. What you think of as being a large stretch goal may not be the same thing that I think is a large stretch goal around money. And so a much better way to approach that particular goal would be to be very specific with a number. I want to make X number of dollars in 2015 and set it as an actual measurable goal. This allows you then to break that larger goal down into smaller pieces. I mean, logically, you'd say, okay, if I want to make X number of dollars in 2015, 12 months, what does that mean that I need to make each month? Or what does that mean that I need to make each week? What does that mean that I need to make on a daily basis? And so you can begin to craft plans that are really meaningful if you're really specific about the goal. Another example would be the health-related goal. If you're going to focus on a goal around health and you said, okay, I'm going to lose weight in 2015. Again, not specific enough, because you can lose a pound and technically speaking have lost weight in 2015. But I'm guessing if that's one of your goals, a pound is not equal to what you have in mind in terms of your accomplishment for the year. So if you said, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever the number is, and you put it down on paper, you can then begin to work with that. What does that mean weekly or monthly? How many pounds do I need to lose in a good month in order to reach my goal by the end of the year? So as you can see, having your decisions based on something measurable is really important to you actually achieving the goal. So that's number one, decide what you want to achieve. Number two, document your decision in full detail, and as I just said, be really specific. So sit down with a journal, ideally, or a notepad or a notebook, and write down specifically what it is that you're going to be achieving in each of those areas, or if you're just going to do it in one or two areas, whatever those areas are, document what that's going to look like. And when I say full detail, I'm including the idea of how you're going to achieve what you set out to achieve. You know, how are you going to get there? And so what's the vehicle you're going to use? If you're going to lose weight, what's the diet you're going to go on? If you're going to lose weight, what is the exercise program you're going to use? Who are the people you're going to try to bring into your life that are going to help encourage you and give you expert advice if needed along the way? You know, be really specific about the plan itself. So that's number two, document your decision in full detail and be specific. Number three is figure out what path you will take to get what you want. So regardless if it's a health-related goal or a money and wealth-related goal or a relationship goal or a spirituality goal, figure out the path you're going to take to arrive at the destination. You know, what's the path? Again, where are you going to work out? What equipment are you going to use? Who's going to be your trainer if you need one? Where are you going to seek the advice you need to seek? If it's a money goal, how are you going to create the money? Where are you going to save the money? Does the checking or savings account or investment account exist already for you to put those deposits into them? And if it doesn't exist, go out and open it. Even if you don't have the money yet, go open the account to create a place to receive. Because that, what that's doing is it's acting on an intention that the money is going to be coming in. So go get the bank account, open it up, and in advance of the money flowing in. So really be specific about what you're going to do and the path you're going to take to get there. So number three is figure out the path you will take to get what you want. Number four is really important, and it simply stated is to aim high. I know a lot of people that I talk to in my coaching business where we talk about goals a lot, and I find that sometimes people who achieve small results in their business are achieving those small results because their goals are so small. In other words, they're succeeding at the level of their aspiration. It's not necessarily what they really want, but it's kind of equal to what their belief is and what they're able to achieve. And so they kind of play it conservative, very modest goal, and so the results in achievement of that are very modest. You'll be amazed. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what your current state is, or what skill sets or resources you do or do not have, or think you do or do not have, I promise you that you're able to achieve far more than you currently believe. And I think that's true probably of 90% of the people that I talk to, whether it's in a coaching, you know, relationship or in an interpersonal communication with someone, most people sell themselves way short on what they're able to achieve. So in step number four, I want you just to aim high. You know, be ridiculous and unreasonable about what it is you want to do. And, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but it does ring true that if you aim for the stars and, you know, you don't quite get to the – if you aim for the moon, I think that's how it goes. Aim for the moon and only get to the stars, you still achieved a great thing. That really is true, right? So if you set a high, lofty goal that's beyond your – comfort zone, but maybe a little bit to the edge of your belief, and you make it halfway there, you're still going to make an incredible impact, and you might be surprised that you actually achieved the goal you set, even though it's that high, lofty goal. So in step number four, go for it. Aim high and dream big. Step number five, take risk. This is the thing I think that more than anything else, even for people that aim high in a goal, number five actually is even more critical in terms of you actually achieving what you set out to achieve, and it's taking risk, because most people are naturally wired not to be risk takers. And so when they sit out and set out to pursue a goal, the first thing they think about is all the things that could possibly go wrong. Or start thinking about what they're going to do when it doesn't work out, because they're afraid to actually take the risk in pursuing it. So if you hear this as being familiar to you, if your self-talk includes things like you're questioning, you know, whether or not you're going to be able to achieve a certain thing, or what are you going to do if you don't make it or if you can't make it, or, you know, what happens if you fail, that's an area for you to start working on right away, because that will derail you every time. Be willing to take risk and try to view failure differently. I personally view failure as the process of getting one step closer to success. And believe me, my path has not been perfectly clear and laced with gold. I've had several stories that I could tell, a couple of them rather epic, about things that I've set out to do that didn't work out, things that failed. But I can tell you a whole story about the financial implosion of 2008 and what it meant to be in the mortgage banking business at that time. And that's just part of life, you know. We're not promised this, like, rosy path. So all we can do is aim high, be willing to take the risk. If we have failures and setbacks, that we recognize that those are just part of the process in achieving our goals, we get up, dust ourselves off, set a new game plan, and move forward again. And that brings me right into step number six. And step number six is refusing to quit. There are so many people in coaching that I have encountered that I can see it, that they are so close to the breakthrough, that everything they've done up until this point has presented them perfectly in front of what they're looking for. And there's just a couple of more challenging steps ahead of them, and they'll break through, and you can see it. But what happens is your belief begins to overtake your confidence that that's actually true. And for some, they give up on the goal. And most people that give up too soon. It's too early in the process trying to achieve what they're trying to achieve that they just give up. And in some cases, as I say, they're just a step or two away from the biggest breakthrough that they could have imagined. And it's challenging to watch that when you can't help a person realize that and actually continue moving forward. It's incredibly gratifying when you can help a person actually see that, the truth in that, and actually step into their greatness. And so regardless of what it is you're working at, and regardless of what it is that you're doing, and what goals you've set for yourself, and what setbacks you may have encountered, or whatever obstacles you feel like are in front of you, remember in the beginning I said we all have three things in common. We all have challenges, changes, and commitments. And so no matter what level or extreme nature of those three components exist in our lives, there's always the ability to move forward if you refuse to quit. And so take that to heart, and I'm going to harp on it because it's so important. And I'm telling you guys that it's everything. Step number seven is to make sure you celebrate small victories. Now, I don't have a problem doing this. In fact, I do it as a principle, a core principle, because I know how much it fosters my long-term success. That if I have a goal in any area of life and I achieve just the smallest little positive victory in that thing, I'm going to sing it on the rooftop, because I recognize that part of that in doing that is about gratitude. And gratitude is an incredibly powerful force that we're going to talk about in an upcoming episode of this podcast. The power behind just being grateful for what you have, being grateful for what you've accomplished, being grateful for the challenges, changes, and commitments in your life, and how gratitude will create a power within you that will help you to achieve whatever your goals are. So one way of really exhibiting that gratitude is to celebrate small victories in step number seven. So whether that means you call up your best friend and tell them about something good that's happened, or you give somebody praise for having played a role in helping you achieve something, whether you get onto social media and share your journey with people, or you talk about it in confidence with the closest people to you, whatever it is your method of celebrating, all that matters is that you do it. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you do it, that you take the time to be grateful, express gratitude, and to celebrate your small victories. That's in step number seven. Step number eight is making course corrections as needed. Because no matter how well you plan, inevitably there are challenges, changes, and other commitments that will come up in your life that will force you to make some adjustments. Now, there's a big difference between making adjustments to your plan and abandoning your plan. If you were an airplane pilot and you had a destination that you needed to get to by a certain time and you encountered a storm along the journey, you're not going to turn the plane around and go back to where you originated and just scrap the idea. You're going to find a way around the storm, right? I mean, that's what pilots do. They find ways to have in-flight corrections for their path that will still get them to the end destination on roughly the same time frame by diverting the challenges in front of them, circumventing, you know, potholes that come up in front of them that might take them off course. The fact is they make corrections along the way. And you have to do the same thing when carrying out your action plan around your goals. Recognize that things are going to come up. New opportunities might come up that maybe cause you to slightly change the goal for the better, make it bigger, make it more audacious, make it more unreasonable, right? And so you make course corrections that match the opportunity that's presented itself. And always be open to growth that way. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were halfway through the year and you're working on goals that are bigger than the loftiest goal that you had to start the year? I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? And that can happen too. So make those course corrections as needed in step number 8. Step number 9, you want to live with a heart full of gratitude. I talked about gratitude quite a bit when I was talking about celebrating small victories. But you really want to get to a place where that is your mojo. That is what's in your heart. When you talk to people, you're speaking grace, gratitude, appreciation. You're not griping, complaining, and basically flowing with negativity. You're actually in a heart space of gratitude. You're taking the things that are good in your life and letting those by far outshine the things that are bad. And I'm not saying you guys need to be unrealistic about the things that are bad, because like I said, I have a lot of friends that are a lot of different places in their stages of life right now. And some dealing with some really serious life or death things. So I'm not saying it's all rosy and rose-colored glasses, but what I am saying is there's always something you can look to in your life that's a positive. And let that be what drives you, not whatever you're dealing with that's somewhat negative that's going on in your life. So number 9 is live with a heart full of gratitude. Step number 10 is to pay it forward to help others. If you can be in a position in your life, in large ways and small ways, mostly it's all about your attitude, to where you're there to help pay forward goodwill for other people. So if you can be, complimentary of other people, encouraging of other people, supportive in material ways if necessary, under the right circumstances with people. If you can be kind and generous towards people, compliment people that help you, be kind to people that serve you, express love to the people that you love in your life. It's a way of really underpinning everything we've talked about today, because it'll flow from you from the heart. So pay that forward and help other people as they're along their journey as well. I mean, it's all about just being, being humanitarian, right? We all are in this together, as they say. So take what I've taken today or shared with you today and really use that to make 2015 the best year of your life. Keep in mind, as I said, you've got challenges, changes, and commitments that we all have to face. But if you can look at the core 4 areas of life, being your health, money and wealth, relationships and spirituality, and apply the 6-step process to developing that action plan we spoke about, and then take action on what the plans you set forth for yourself, you're going to completely transform where you are today versus where you'll be 12 months from now. And it can be astonishing with the bigger goals, and in other ways, on smaller goals, the things that are just near and dear to your heart, it'll be comforting. It'll add value to your life. It'll make you happier in life, and you'll spread that to other people. So I want to thank you for investing some of your time with me today. I'm looking forward to the year ahead. There are a lot of changes coming to this podcast, and so stay tuned to what's on store as we move forward into 2015 with the Internet Business Blueprint Podcast. This has been James Holmes, your host. Look forward to seeing you again next time.